We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone. If only you had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Hannah Brown, and welcome to Better Tomorrow. My absolute favorite thing to do is have a heart-to-heart talk with my new friends and my best friends, where we sit down and talk about all the things like relationships and love, faith, and self-care. And of course, the little things as well, like the struggle to figure out what to eat tonight. All in all, I really want to ask, how am I better today than yesterday? And bring artists, entrepreneurs, and friends along on the journey. So join me on the journey, will you? Jenny Allen, thank you so much for being here.
I
actually read your first, or the first time that I like knew of your name, one of my friends gave me your book, Get Out of Your Head. And it was so awesome for me. And I know so many of my other friends just dealing with anxiety and just like all the spiral that your brain can like get you in. So I was so excited to talk to you about this new book because I feel like, and I read it very quickly and I think it's so amazing. And thank you so much for just like sharing so vulnerably about your family, what you've gone through and how you kind of decided to, you know, write this book and how this came to you. But I definitely saw like how this first book, the first book that I read from yours definitely helped me with figuring out my own power, I feel like, and being able, and God's, I guess, the power to like lean into God and be able to like shut down a thought, I guess. I feel like that's right. It's been a while, but isn't that what it was?
You sound like me right now. This is a speech I give. Keep going.
Okay. So it's, you have the power like from God.
You have control over your thoughts.
Yes.
That's really true.
And we can.
You can interrupt them.
Yes.
You have a choice.
Is that? Okay. You have a choice, basically. But this book I thought was so awesome because I'm going to be honest, like obviously I talk a lot about mental health here and sometimes I feel friction when it comes to like the church with that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's a lot of like shame in my emotions I have felt. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I've found other books that have like helped me at least feel like I'm not wrong to have the emotions that I have. Yeah. Now, I definitely think I cannot let my emotions drive me, but I feel like you did such a wonderful job of like reframing that for me as somebody and really showing up and writing this book. I don't feel like there's really been a lot of people working in this space of being able to like validate your emotions, but also figuring out how to use those.
Right.
And how God can use those to heal.
Yeah, you know, exactly what you're saying. You did good, girl. That was like a summary. Oh, that was a good summary of both. So this was such a different project for me because I Get Out of Your Head kind of had a bow. It was like, you can interrupt your thoughts. You have power. You have control. Do it, you know?
Yeah.
Yay. Tie it up. The end. This one is more, oh, wow, we're never going to arrive at a place. Like this is... We're gonna feel these things for the rest of our lives, but it's so freeing. You can heal. Mm-hmm. And I think it was funny. This one, there's more of a tension of just, it's not an easy answer. But as you feel and really redeem the way you viewed emotions in your own life, because we've all viewed it that way. Mm-hmm. I think whether you're a Christian or you're not, there's a language of shame we have around emotions. Mm-hmm. Because even when
certain
you were
emotions.
Young, yeah. Yes, yeah. That's right. Negative yeah. emotions. So when we were young, and I remember, you know, being in the car, I still remember this feeling, being in my cart and my mom like pinching me on the back of the leg, which you know, because yeah. I was probably throwing a fit. I don't remember that I was wrong, yeah. but I remember probably I was crying. And I just remember she would like, you know, pinch yeah. me right there. And it was basically, I'm disappointed. I'm throwing a fit. It's wrong. I shouldn't feel this way. Mm-hmm. And again, should I be screaming in Target or wherever we were? No. But what's the message even at 2 or 3 years old? It's like you shouldn't be crying.
Yeah.
You should get it together. So I think we all struggle with that shame response to our negative emotions.
Yeah. I feel like this was just perfect timing for me, because I've been going into like a lot of processing emotions that I just never let myself feel. Yeah. So it was really awesome to have you almost, I don't know, it was like a wink from God, I think, for me mm-hmm. that like, oh, like me doing all this work of actually like tapping into some of these emotions that I never didn't think I was allowed to or shut down. Like that is like where the answer is, and that's where yeah. the healing is. But kind of to back up, I kind of just went into like how I discovered your work. But can you just tell us a little bit more about you and how you found yourself in ministry through your books and the conferences yeah. that you have?
Yeah. So I was 17 years old and I'd grown up hearing about Jesus, but I never saw a personal need for him. And I was at a summer camp and they reenacted Jesus's death, and which, you know, I'd seen obviously before, mm-hmm. but it hit me in a different way. And I just realized like, I need God. And mm-hmm. it was pretty radical. Like I just came back and I was still in high school. I was like, I just love him and I want to talk about him. And I started telling everybody about him, and I think I wore my friends out. And so I grabbed some younger girls, 2 years younger than me, and I started teaching them the Bible, which I didn't know or understand really at the time, but I just had to talk about him. And so that really was just all I did. Like it really wasn't for me like a calling or a job or a sense of I have to be writing books or doing that. I just loved God and I loved talking about him. And then eventually that grew. And that's, you know, today I'm a writer, I'm a speaker, and I lead an organization that puts on events. And one of the events is IF Gathering, which is women from all over the world. And then one of the events that we're going to have for the first time next year is called Gather, and it's the entire global church coming together. So it's wild. It's been a ride. I never would have pictured any of it, mm-hmm. but it also doesn't feel that different from that freshman Bible study I led at 17. It just feels kind of like these are my people, and there's a few more of them today. But I love helping people redeem their view of God, because I think we do feel like he often is times is disappointed in us. Mm-hmm. And so we nobody, you know, if you're listening and you think I'm not a Christian, I don't even know if I want to listen to the rest of this, because you are, I would just say, give it a shot, because I think maybe what you've heard about God could be wrong. And yeah. he really likes you and he loves you and he wants a relationship with you. And so I think I try to help people find a relationship, not just religion or, you know, whatever, morality, all that. That's not, Jesus came and to help people.
Yeah.
And he loved people well. And that's what I hope I'm doing too.
I think you're doing a great job. Mm-hmm. I've had a few people. I know Annie Downs.
I love her
so much. She, yes. I guess, was involved with IF Gathering. And then I saw how you're expanding that in this yeah. next year. And that is so exciting. But I question sometimes, maybe this is just for my own personal experience, sometimes when you feel like you have like a calling, or you said that you didn't even know if it was a calling in your life, but how did you have the confidence
yeah,
to be able to like step into, you know what, I have this like, yeah. I have this message I want to share. I don't know if you went to school to be a writer, but you're like, I guess I'm going to write this book, or, you yeah. know, I feel like more people need to know about Jesus. How do you have the confidence to start a conference that now is like going to be international?
So I didn't.
Yeah.
I was scared out of my mind. I really felt like he would show me the next step. never, rarely was it 5 years, 10 years from now. If he would have shown me to, you know, but I started public ministry about 10 to 12 years ago. So 12 years ago, if he would have shown me what I just announced with Gather, like we're going to gather the entire global church on every continent, I would have quit on that day. Yeah. Like I was a chicken. I was a wimp. And Annie knew me back then. Like anybody that knew me back then would be like, she was up there shaking. Like I was physically notably nervous, you know, mm-hmm. about everything. And so I didn't have it, but I knew what to do next. And I really appreciate that that's how it went for me because I feel like he helped me grow up too. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't ask me 12 years ago to do what I'm doing today. It was just, you know, hey, I remember, one of the bravest moments for me was I felt convicted that I needed to open up. I'd always controlled where I'd just have a living room full of girls that I was discipling. And I mean, that's from, you know, I was 17 till 30 something. And I would never make it bigger. Okay. And I remember just feeling convicted, like you need to quit controlling this and you just need to open it up and like see how many people come. And 200 people came. And the first time I opened it up and several girls trusted Christ in that study. And so I just had to go, I'm in this, whatever you want to do. And as I just quit trying to control my life and I said, whatever you want, God, like I'm going to be in, things begin to happen. And, you know, for some people, it would be the opposite. For some people, it would be like, man, I want to be famous. I want to be a New York Times bestselling author. For me, it was the opposite. Like I really was anxious about all of it. And I would say for a long time, it just, all of it felt like just huge steps of faith. Mm-hmm. And still, it can feel that way. And I mean, I'm so blessed to get to do what I do. But I would say it's letting go of all of it. It's saying I'm not going to be able to control my reputation. I'm not going to be able to control my, you know, my story and where this leads, because it really led places. Again, if I'd known, I probably wouldn't have said yes. So I'm still scared sometimes. Yeah. My confidence is not my strength.
I feel you. I know what that's like. And I feel like a lot of times people can find themselves like, I don't know what God wants to do in my life. Or I don't know where to go next. But I think it's just like kind of taking that next step. But it doesn't have to be like a giant leap. It's just like
a step.
Opening up a little room for God. Wouldn't you say? It's just like, okay, God, I'm going to just like see what happens. And it's so cool to hear that like, you know, 10, 12 years ago, you were doing Bible studies with girls in your living room to now hosting.
Yeah.
How many? I hope it's hundreds of thousands of people.
It is. Oh, it's for sure that. Yeah.
Next year.
Oh, next year will be millions. This year was hundreds of thousands. I mean, because we do it live stream, but you don't even think about it. That's the thing in our world. It's like, we don't know how many people, how many of y'all are out there? Hey, we're so glad you're here. But there's this sense of like, where are you right now? Are you in your car? Are you at the beach? Like, where are you listening to this from? You should share it with us. We love hearing. But it's hard to get our heads around it. You know, like you're real
out
there.
That is wild.
You are sitting there with your AirPods in somewhere on a plane. Mm-hmm. On a walk, you know, and it's real. It's people. And that's the magic of our world today is we can throw out numbers like that because of the time we live. I mean, it's just we can reach so far. It's so special.
That is so awesome. Well, I'm really excited about next year's gathering and what y'all are all going to do and how many lives are going to change. But I saw
you
that.
You got to come.
I would love to. Well, I actually met with Annie Downs. A mutual friend.
Yeah.
I think right before she left, like the
she
day.
She should have put you on the plane with her and brought you.
I would have loved to, next time. Yeah. And she was telling me a little bit about it. And I was like, I think we have scheduled Virginia to come on the podcast. So it was so cool. I didn't know that I'd heard of If Gathering, but I didn't know that that was something that you had started. Yeah. I didn't fully understand, but that's so special. Yeah. And that is a big calling, whether you knew you were stepping into that calling or not, like you've got it now and how you're just trusting God to like let it become bigger and bigger. That's tough. Today is about looking for new ways to better ourselves, but sometimes that means looking in a totally different place or even a different state. In South Dakota, travel is transformative. It's good for the soul. It's the kind of place to just let go to escape from routine and predictability of life, to put down the phone and pick up a sense of adventure and to see the world a little bit differently, as in not through our screen. Life in South Dakota is about unplugging from it all and connecting with the world around you. It's about being open to real surprises and treating your senses to a real, raw, natural beauty that doesn't need a filter. Whether you're exploring the mountains and trees of the Black Hills, hiking through the Badlands, navigating the wild towns, or camping under the stars, South Dakota is the place to get a little lost and find yourself along the way. See why there's so much South Dakota, so little time at travelsouthdakota.com. Wear my engaged girls. Congrats. You're engaged. So am I. Now you may be like me wondering what's next. If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola. Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place, including venue options and all your vendors. Plus, you can get design, save the dates and invites, build a free wedding website, create your registry, and stay on track and on budget throughout the entire process with their free planning tools. Zola has created everything you need to make the whole process super easy and hopefully actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on the couch. Look, I have just now opened the can of worms of all that is wedding planning, but I'm so thankful for Zola because it can help make wedding planning so much easier for all of us engaged girlies. We need to be having fun. We need to be excited. It doesn't need to be a stressful process. And I feel like Zola can really help us engaged girlies enjoy this time of our life because we are celebrating the love that we have created and this beautiful new chapter in our life. And we do not need to be crying over napkins and invitations. So Zola's got us covered. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. There have been many times in my life where I really thought I could trust my gut, but I definitely shouldn't have. Definitely with a lot of those exes in the past, when it comes to that low fuel flashing light on my car, I just always think that it's not really serious. Trust me, it is. I've been on the side of the road way too many times. Probiotics can't help with most of your gut decisions, but if your gut needs a little support, Ritual has your back. Ritual has made a 3-in-1 supplement with clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic to support a balanced gut microbiome, all in one minty capsule and no refrigeration needed. I love my Symbiotic Plus. I take it every day. It's great because it's got all the biotics in it for my probiotic. I feel like it's just really helping my gut in all the ways. And actually, Ritual even invested in a study modeling the human colon, which showed that Symbiotic Plus significantly increased the microbial diversity and the growth of beneficial bacteria. We love that. We love when the thing's actually doing the work that we need it to for our gut. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/Hannah B. Start Ritual or add Symbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/Hannah B for 25% off. I want to kind of get into untangling your emotions a little bit more because I talk a lot about mental health here. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know your thoughts on, like, obviously we know that mental health or mental wellness is so important for just like our overall health, but specifically for our spirituality, mm-hmm. how important is it for us to be mentally well, to be able to like flourish in our spiritual health?
Well, I've heard it said that you'll never be more spiritually healthy than you are emotionally healthy. Mm-hmm. And we see that in people's lives, right? You see that where someone may be talk a big game, but at the end of the day, they're hurtful and you don't exactly understand why. When you're around them, you feel bad about yourself, but you do. And they're talking about God and they're talking about faith, but you feel like misunderstood when you're with them and you feel kind of insecure. And I would say that they probably sincerely believe in Jesus and understand the Bible to some degree, but they're probably emotionally in a harder place. Mm-hmm. And I say that because a lot of times our emotional health is what comes out and bites people, right?
Yes.
On accident, yes. Right? We don't mean to, and we don't even necessarily always know we just did that, but it's coming from our own personal hurts, mm-hmm. right? And we don't heal because we don't want to feel and we don't want to go back and feel those feelings. And I get that. That was me. I was not, I didn't get it. I could have never written this book even 5 years ago because I just was someone who even showed up to my small group where we hired a counselor and we were going to do some emotional healing and work together. And I showed up and I was like, what's the point? I literally looked at our counselor and said, he wanted to go back into our childhood and all these things. And I was like, tell me the point. I don't get it. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why. Because what good is it going to do? We're going to go back to these moments that were sad or that we were hurt or that we were traumatized or that we were angry. And we're going to dig them up for what? What reason? Give me a purpose.
Yeah.
And so I was that girl. Like I would have said, why? What's the point? So now fast forward, doing it and being with people who really saw me and loved me and heard me, something magical happened. And parts of myself that had been broken and hurting all my life, like I could point back to when is the first time you felt anxious mm-hmm. about pressure? Just that. Let's just take that little thread. When's the first time? I know when it was. I remember. I was 12 years old. I remember the moment for the first time that I remember feeling like I can't measure up. And I remember the emotion of desperate anxiety. Like I've got to measure up and I don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all do that. Like if you were to think, gosh, what's a strong emotion you felt lately? And then you were to go, when's the first time you felt it? You do it pretty quickly. It's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. Almost every single person I've ever done that with, they within 3 seconds can remember the first time they felt it. So all that stuff is with you. I mean, mm-hmm. with you, like right there on the edge of your mind. Like it comes quickly because emotions are part of what seal in our memories. So you do remember. Most of the things you remember from your childhood is because it was a strong emotion, happiness, excitement, you know, jealousy, anger, fear, whatever. That you remember the things you remember largely because you felt a strong emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all with us. And if we never heal from it, then it's just sitting there.
Yeah.
And it just comes out when you don't want it to, especially to the people that you don't want to hurt.
Yeah. I've been, like I said, this book was so the timing of it was really interesting because I also feel like we're very similar of I just could shut down things. Like I didn't really cry that much. I just was like, all right, my past kind of crappy, but like I just need to move forward. And then it couldn't anymore. I think that's the thing that I really struggle with. It's like it got so big.
Yeah.
That you can run from it for only so long.
That's right.
Until it just starts affecting everything, especially like relationships most important to you. And so I had probably, in the past few years have been me really just like having to dig into it. And it can feel like, what's the point? Why am I going to put myself back into those really uncomfortable, negative emotions? But I have felt so much healing from that. And also what your book talks about, like a lot of connection with being able to do that with people who love me and can support me through it. But when you said like, even 5 years ago, you would have been like,
right,
like not doing this conversation right now. But what was the catalyst that made you have this experience in your own personal life and then say, hey, I want to write about this. I want to share this.
So like a lot of people and probably almost everybody listening can relate to this, after COVID, mm-hmm. there was like a numbness that came over me where everything just felt kind of the same. Like there wasn't excitement. There wasn't fear. I just didn't feel. I just came kind of out of that and was very flat. And that was good for a little while, mm-hmm. right? After a season of fear and intensity, and we were all whipped from that, you know, universal experience that we all walked through together. And so that felt good for a little while. But eventually you go, wait, this isn't living. Like something's missing. And mm-hmm. I don't want this to be how I stay. Mm-hmm. It was okay for a season to not feel things because we'd felt so many difficult things. But then after a little while, you go, this isn't how I want to be. And right around the time that I was kind of noticing something, I need to do something about this. My friend invited me to be a part of a small group. And she was like, we're going to hire a counselor. And we were all leaders. We were all in leadership. We all had pressures. And I remember driving and thinking what I was hoping for. And I was really hoping that my heart would wake up, that I would really love my work, because I should. My work is great. Like what we do is so fun. And getting to talk to people and share with people and minister to people, like that's just such a gift. But I wasn't enjoying it anymore. And I just wanted something to change. And so when I showed up at that, they were like, you've got to bring your whole heart and you've got to just say like what you're really feeling. And it was scary and hard, but I did it. And I yelled and I was angry at God at the time, I remember, which I didn't even know till I started talking. And I said, I'm just mad. I feel like he's abandoned me. I feel like I'm out on the water and he's gone. And where did he go? And he left me and he told me to come out here. And where is he? And I'm just yelling. And they initially kind of answered.
This is my favorite part of the book.
Yeah. This is why I wrote the book.
Yeah.
They initially kind of answered and said, well, Jenny, that's not true. God's not leaving you. God hasn't left you. Like, God's not like that. And I was like, golly, that felt lousy. Because they were fixing me. They were trying to fix my theology, which I went to seminary for 3 years. I've got great theology. Mm-hmm. Like, I know my theology. That wasn't the problem, right? And so, Mike, thankfully, this counselor interrupted and said, hey, I want y'all, instead of telling Jenny what you think about what she just said, I want you to tell her what you feel about what she just said. It changed the room. Changed the room. I wanted out. I was so sad I'd shared. I was so, when they were fixing me, I was like, I'm not going to do this again. And then they started saying, I feel sad that you just felt misunderstood. I feel proud of you for staying out on the water, even though you feel like God's not there. I feel angry that these things have happened to you. And my heart, it melted. Mm-hmm. It melted. I needed that so badly. And it reminded me of times that the Bible says things like, mourn with those who mourn. Why does it say that? Such a random thing. Why would that help? It's in that category of why. Yeah. What's the point? Well, what's crazy is verses like that make sense when you actually look at the science, because your brain actually heals in community. Mm-hmm. So when you're not alone in your pain, even though the circumstances are still difficult, when you aren't alone in that, your brain begins to repair broken parts from trauma. Like it actually like rebuilds parts of your brain because someone mourns with you who's mourning. Mm-hmm. It's a miracle. To me, it's a miracle. It's one of the most beautiful things that God built us that way. But I just didn't believe it till I experienced it. And it was so counter-cultural to the world I live in. And it was so counter to me, the way I do things, because I'm a fixer. We're all so close and they're part, I dedicated the book to them because they are part of my healing journey. Mm-hmm. But that day I saw myself in them. I saw what I used to do to people.
Yeah.
I try to fix them.
Yeah.
They're a problem to fix.
Yes.
And so if we're not comfortable with our own emotions, then we're never going to be comfortable with someone else's emotions. So if your kid or spouse or friend is crying in front of you, but you're not comfortable with your own tears, you're never going to be comfortable with theirs. Mm-hmm. And then that means you're not going to be safe. And you're not going to be able to help them heal. And that is all of our goal. We want to be great parents. We want to be great friends. We want to be great great spouses. You know, these are the desires we have. So how do we get there? You can't go around emotions. You have to go through them.
Mm-hmm. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I have been in a really awesome season, but also a season that has been pretty stressful. There's been a lot going on. I can see where some of those things that really keep me grounded, I have not been able to make time for and not know how to do that. And so it's been weighing on me a little bit. And look, we all carry around different stressors that can be big or small, but when we keep them bottled up and don't talk about like what's going on in our life, it can really affect us negatively. So therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest, to really talk about what you're going through and figure out a way to work through whatever that is that's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Shopify. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If like you're just not feeling that connected with somebody, you can always try it again. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/tomorrow today to get 10% off your first order. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tomorrow. Real change happens when you're consistent, and achieving the hair of your dreams is no exception. Thanks to Vegamore, sticking to your hair routine has never been easier, so you actually see the results you've always wanted. When it comes to seeing results, the key is consistency, y'all. With a monthly subscription to Grow Hair Serum, Vegamore makes it easy to stay consistent. Plus, you save more and never run low on the products you need to take care of your hair. Vegamore products are 100% cruelty-free and never formulated with potentially harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones. For the best results, use a minimum 3 months for visibly fuller, healthier, and thicker looking hair. Fun fact, Vegamore sells one bottle of Grow Hair Serum every 15 seconds on their website. That's how good this stuff is. You guys know I love Vegamore so much. I have seen so much improvement in my hair because of using their products. They really are that great. I like the Grow Hair Serum because I can use it on my hair when it's wet or dry, so it just helps me stay consistent depending on if it's a wash day or not. Elevate your hair wellness routine this year with Vegamore. For a limited time, get 20% off your first subscription order by going to vegamore.com/HannahB and use code HannahB at checkout. That's VEGAMOUR.com/HannahB. Use code HannahB to save 20% on your first order. I love how you really talk about like feelings are the great, that's how we connect. And being able to express our emotions is how we connect with each other. And that's something people are probably like that have listened to this. This just keeps coming up because my fiance and I are doing counseling together, just because of my own past and his too, yes, and learning how to be able, we want hopefully like our first year of marriage to be great because we've started doing the hard work now.
Yes.
And learning how to talk to each other. And our therapist has helped us with this thing called like the story we tell ourselves. And it's helped so much because there will be things that normally, like if he told me he was upset about something, I'd be like, you're kidding me, right? Like you're upset about that. Right. But when you hear the story behind the story,
yeah,
you just have so much compassion for the person. And then at the end, you know, what could have been a fight, we've been able to have this conversation that I got to learn more about him and I got to like really understand him more, and then we're more connected, and then we're like, oh my gosh, like this was such a powerful conversation to have that like normally we wouldn't have had at all because we're both, I wouldn't say the one that have like extreme emotions. We just like, we'll walk away from each other. We create distance. Mm. We're very avoidant when it comes to the emotions. And it's been really cool to be able to like face them together.
Wow.
And it's so funny, like when we each kind of do this script that our therapist gave us, like we're the most uncomfortable being the person to bring the emotion up. And I think that is probably because we've both been in situations where we've wanted to share our emotion and it's been shut down. So what do you say to the people who, you know, maybe reading this book and like, but I've tried that. I've tried to be open about what I'm feeling. And then I just feel like I've been completely shut down and honestly probably a fixer of some sort of has just been like, oh, well, you don't need to feel that way because it's just let go and let God. Mm. What do you say to those people who have felt that and are scared to show up again?
Mm. Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because that is lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like, where do I go with this, you know? And I would say it's incredibly brave to do it differently and to keep trying. And what I have to always start a project and go, what do I really want people to walk away with? What was the main gift I want them to have when they leave? And I thought to myself, you know, I've been blessed to get to do counseling different points in my life many times. And I've learned so much from that. And I thought, there's so many people that can't afford this. There's so many people mm-hmm. that can't get that. Like, what can I give them? And that was one, what you're asking me right now is one of the biggest reasons I was like, this, I want to try. I mean, you can't, how am I going to tackle the subject right in the beginning? It's like, golly, it's so big. And how do I actually help people feel seen and known and loved? And I was like, well, if I could give them a few tools to have better conversations around this and to ask for what they need. Mm-hmm. So if that's you, if you think, gosh, I've just been wounded over and over again, I would say people, most of us aren't good at this. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense to me that you've been wounded, even by perfectly lovely people that didn't mean to hurt you, right? But I think as you learn and as you do it differently and as you go, gosh, I've gotten more comfortable with this, then with sadness, with anger, with fear, I've gotten more comfortable with it, then you get to do that for other people. Hannah, it's just like your story where your friend did it for you. You said, mm-hmm. well, you've been this kind of friend to me, and mm-hmm. you were able, there's a sense of like maturing happens together.
Yeah.
And so what I would say is, who are the safest people? And then ask, I always say, use your words. Say, okay, I'm going to share something with you. And here's how I want you to respond. I want you to tell me how you feel about what I said. And I don't want you to give me some answers. I want you to listen. And mm-hmm. I want you to tell me, this is how it made me feel. Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you what's going to happen. As soon as you finish, they're going to tell you what they think, even though you started with. But here, you set an expectation. And then you're going to go back to it. And you're going to say, nope. You're going to interrupt them. You're going to say, nope. I don't want you to tell me what you think. I want you to tell me what you feel. And you're going to help them lead and do better. You genuinely are going to help people do better. Mm-hmm. Because they don't know how to do better.
Yeah. And they might say, you know, I feel kind of uncomfortable because I don't know how to do this.
Wow. Right.
And even
it's and that
like,
gives you grace.
You're like, oh my gosh.
Yes.
I don't either. This is right. I'm trying. This is me trying.
That's so accurate.
Because I think right. that would have been if somebody that I really loved came to me
yeah.
before I had done any of this work. I think that's what I would say of like, I'm actually pretty uncomfortable right now, but because I want to help you, but I don't think I know how. And then that starts a conversation of where you can do it together.
Right. And yeah. that's worth it. And that you just get at something that bonds you, even in that, even mm-hmm. in your honesty. We just underestimate the power and the connection that comes with humbly and honestly saying what you feel and what's true, you know? Mm-hmm. And I get why, but it's like, be brave enough to try it again. And if it hurts you again, be brave enough to try again. And as best you can, help set the expectation.
Mm-hmm. I loved in your first book how you talked about your struggles with anxiety, like really openly. I really appreciate mm-hmm. that. And I loved how you and your husband, you know, allowed us to kind of go more into his bouts of struggling with depression, how you talked about that.
Yeah.
Something I really struggled with. Mm. And it made me feel not alone in yeah. that. And it also didn't sugarcoat it of
yeah,
like,
it was
and
hard.
I, because that's what it's like living with depression. So can you kind of, I just want to say thank you for that yeah. and thank your husband for
right?
sharing
He said, I want you to do this.
Yeah.
It was him.
Because it can feel, especially when you do believe in God and his will for your life and that mm-hmm. like trusting in the Lord, but then you still feel this sadness that just right. feels so deep. It can sometimes feel like you're wrong.
Yeah.
And that there's something bad and maybe yeah. I'm not. Like, maybe I don't actually get this God thing. You can go, and I've gone into those spirals of
sure.
just feeling like, okay, well, there must be something wrong with me that even God can't get to, you know?
Yeah.
And I just think it's so beautiful how you wrote about it and that he allowed you to write about that. So can you just very vulnerably talk about what depression really looks like, what it's looked like in your life, and how that can affect us from being able to connect with other people.
Well, yeah, I haven't done what I'm about to do. The way you asked the question made me think of this. Let me tell you. So he's walked through two bouts with depression, one for about a year and a half and one for about 6 months recently. And it's crazy. It was right when I started writing the book. His depression lasts, so it takes me, you know, really about a year if you count research and all that, but 6 hard months of writing the first draft. So those 6 months of writing the first draft, he was struggling with depression for a second time. And so let me compare those two to answer your question, because the first time was 12 years ago and he felt so much shame around it, so embarrassed. It didn't even matter because he could barely get out of bed.
Yeah.
And it was, oh, it was dark and hard. And he couldn't work. He had to not work for a season. It was as, you know, I worry like he may take his life. Mm-hmm. And it was really scary. And I remember he kept beside his bed. I talk about this in the book, that a book, a little bitty book. It was almost like a pamphlet, which praise God for people that write pamphlets, because in the middle of the deepest, darkest part of the depression, he couldn't even read.
Yeah.
And so it was, I don't know if it was 50 pages or 40 pages, but the title was Christians Get Depressed Too. Mm. And he kept it by his bed like a Bible, and he would just read it because of what you're saying. Like he kept looking for where he went wrong and what he had done wrong and why this was happening. And he knew it was out of his control because he's a very, very disciplined man. I mean, he's right currently like started, I don't know how many companies and a church, and he's a doer, and he is not a stay in bed kind of lazy guy, but he could not barely get out of bed. And so he knew it wasn't in his power to fix this, but it was so hard. And then this time he entered it again, and I was so scared because the only thing I knew was 10 years old earlier, my husband. Mm-hmm. Well, today he is so comfortable in his emotions more than me. He is so tender. He is not afraid to be sad. He's not afraid to be mad. He feels whatever he's feeling. He talks about it. He's so emotional, really, but in a really healthy way. And so when this hit again, in a way that was, I truly believe for my husband, and all of us are different, but for my husband, it really is a chemical thing that gets triggered, certainly with circumstances that are really difficult, but it's like he becomes a different person overnight. Mm-hmm. And anyway, that's where we were again. And this time, though, we both weren't afraid of being sad. And so we would walk at night. We would walk almost every night if we can, if we're in town. And we would walk at night. And I remember the first few months, just we wouldn't speak. Like we just were moving our body in, like trying, you know, and he wouldn't speak. And then as we kept going, like he started sharing more and just what he was feeling and what he was sad about, what he was hoping for. And by the end of those 6 months, and by the time I was done writing the book, he was happy and it was even laughing. And the circumstances hadn't changed, but he had healed. And part of the reasons why was he had community in his life. Mm-hmm. He went there fast. He called a doctor the day just about that he realized this is what's happening. He got help and advice and counseling. He wasn't afraid of all that. The first time it was just the unknown. He didn't know what to do.
It's like, what is going on?
What is going on? And you spend months just trying to figure out, what do I need to do? And how did I get here? And judging it and all these things. And this time it's like, okay, I know what this is and I need help, you know? And it was just humble and he got it and it was just so different. And so I would just say, if any of you feel like you're there, you need help. Mm-hmm. When the analogy I use in the book is emotions are like the ocean. And sometimes you're standing on the shore and they're barely hitting your feet. And it's more like a mood and you just are like sad for a day and the next day you feel better. And sometimes you're like neck deep or waist deep and you're okay, but you're definitely more in a season of sadness or fear or anger. And then there's times where you get out and you're swimming and you've just lost a loved one, but you're okay. You're not drowning. You've got what you need and you're okay. But there are times it's like you're out at sea and you're going under. Mm-hmm. And that person, I've heard stories of friends that have gotten stuck in real riptides. That person has to have help. Like they need a lifeguard to get on a boat or a jet ski and go out and save them. Mm-hmm. And if that's you and you go, man, this thing's taking me under, you need help. And so reach out to a local church, reach out to a counselor, reach out for sure to friends and people that love you and just say, I think I'm struggling with depression. Mm-hmm. I think I'm struggling with anxiety. Because until we voice those words, honestly, for me, I lived with my husband and I didn't totally see it. Mm-hmm. So you've got to say it. Like, mm-hmm. I need help and this is what I'm struggling with.
And I feel like it kind of goes hand in hand with what we talked about earlier of like, if you won't like really get in with those emotions and feel them, I think it prolongs it for me.
Yeah, that's true.
I was so scared of my sadness. Mm-hmm. Like, this is something new. Like, I broke down of like, I am so scared, ashamed, don't know how to really embrace my sadness. And that is what has kept me in yeah. depression for far too long yeah. because I was so scared of it. I didn't want to sit with it. And then it just consumes you, but I didn't want to name it. And yeah. I think naming it is so huge. And now when I feel things, I sometimes feel like it's a downer for my fiance or my friends, but they're like, how are you? And I'm like, you know, I'm feeling sad today. Or I walked in today and they're like, how are you? I'm like, I'm in a little bit of a funk today. And he's like, I hope it's a good funk. I'm like, I don't know if it's a good funk. It's not a funky fun. No, it's just a little bit of a funk. Yeah. And like, but me just saying that like gives me, it just is like a weight off of me that I don't have to pretend.
Yes, that's it.
I don't have to pretend. Yeah.
You know, I remember my counselor said, Jenny, all that energy you're spending, judging what you're feeling, mm-hmm. trying not to feel it, all that work you're doing, when you just feel it and you just say, this is where I am, there's so much more margin and energy in your brain and your body and your life to do the things you want to do mm-hmm. and to create right alongside all of the feelings.
Yeah.
And it is so accurate. When he said it the first time, I was like, I don't know if I believe that. But it's unbelievable. Like when you ask me, you know, how do you have the confidence to do everything you're doing? I don't, but I do have the margin in my heart. Mm-hmm. Like I do have the capacity in my heart because I'm not spending so much time controlling everything and yeah. like trying to make sure it all works out. And it's that part of life gets a lot more fun and freeing to mm-hmm. just go, yeah, I'm having a bad day.
Yeah.
Or I'm down and I've been down for a while and I don't totally know what it is. I remember I was about to lead IF Gathering 2 years ago, I think. Yeah, 2 years ago. And I was about to go on sabbatical and I was really in that place. I mean, this was before.
Did you know, like going into this, did you decide to do the sabbatical because you knew you were kind of going in that place?
It was, I'd felt it the August before. So now it's February and I'm about to go off in May, but it took that long to plan it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm crawling in. And I remember I was about to go lead, you know, hundreds of thousands of people and host the weekend and all my friends that are speakers and all these leaders. And I remember going, I'm crawling. And I'm not confident and I'm not excited to even be here. Mm-hmm. And I remember my counselor was there speaking that year. And I said, what do? He goes, you tell him that. And so right at the beginning of the conference, I stood up and I said, here's where I am. And yet God is going to move anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so great because—
And he actually probably moved
bigger,
that.
Better.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what you just— In our weakness, he is strong. Like we don't understand that weakness is the hope of glory. Mm-hmm. It's the hope that there is a God when Hannah, I mean, I just want to speak on behalf of everybody that listens to you and they're going to all be glad I say this right now. You are so beautiful.
Wow.
You are so joyful. You are so just likable. And for you to bravely say, yeah, and I struggle with all of these things mm-hmm. and to be that honest, it gives everybody permission to go, you know, nobody's perfect. And the fact that I'm struggling, I'm not alone. And look at her. I respect her. I like her. And she's struggling too. There, mm-hmm. there is a gift in the struggle, mm-hmm. not just for other people, but also for ourselves to just go, yeah, it's a bad day. I've been struggling with this. And there's a freedom in that. And God actually loves it because it shows our need for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I really do appreciate that because I think for so long, and I'm sure there's a lot of people listening that sometimes when people will say like, oh my gosh, you just seem so happy. It's like, it's so easy to be like, yeah, totally. I'm happy. Yeah, I'm good. Because I smile a lot. And I think these types of conversation, if they would have come so much earlier in my life, I would have had so much more freedom in that. But I do have joy in my life. I do have hope in my life.
It's real.
That is so real and so true. And I do think it's because of being able to like just surrender to, you know, like, I don't know why I feel the way that I feel right now, but I do believe in that there's hope, that there's another side to this, and I can still show up even in the midst of not actually being able to say with 100% honesty, I'm happy today, but I can still move through this. I can still work through it. God's still going to work through me. And like, that has been such a blessing in my life, because for a while I didn't believe that. I thought the only way that like I could really show up to people was if I could truly honestly say that I'm happy. And unfortunately, there's been years now where that wasn't the case most days. And God has still allowed and used me. And it's like, like you're usable even when, and probably even more so when you aren't all the happy and positive emotions. Is actually like, I think thing I've noticed is like, I connect more with people.
Yeah.
When they're real. Just real about that.
Me too.
Yeah. Sometimes it's not great, but we still show up.
Because you got to remember, there is an enemy, and what's his goal is to isolate us. Because if we're isolated, we can't get help.
Yeah.
And we're going to stay there. We're going to stay stuck in the dark alone for a long time. And so if you believe you're the only broken one, then you never come out.
Yeah.
And you never ask for help, and you never say, me too, and I feel this way too. And so I think when the power of going first, of saying, and that's what you're doing, Hannah. Like, you're going first. You're saying, listen, I know that a lot of you watch me on television. I know like the persona, but I've struggled with depression. Even probably, I don't know what it was like on the show, but I would imagine that was pretty hard.
Well, I think, that was, that's like what I've been processing the most, of just like, when your life is going like 100 miles per hour, I don't think I even knew what was happening. And that led to the level of kind of like with a lot of people with COVID, like, and how you were talking, like when there's so many emotions going on, there's so much fear, doubt, shame, excitement, like it can be also much that I think sometimes your body, you'll just shut down.
That's right.
And I lived in that numbness for a while, which then also like with the depression stuff, it was not a fun time. I'll tell you that, not fun. But I've slowly, day by day, like been getting out of that more and been able to actually talk about those feelings that were so numbed down. And I think for a while, probably for my benefit, because I couldn't handle everything. And with that, I'm just so glad that I get to have conversations with people like you that are also been on this journey, that have some wisdom for me. And then I hope me having those conversations about the place where I'm actually in, you know, there's other people listening that are, you know, maybe just a few steps behind me are on the journey with me. And it's tough, but I think just like with you, like you can never imagine that God would ask you to be a leader of, you know, bringing him glory and honor and really carrying out his will for millions of people. Like, I feel the same way, but I'm just doing it anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
And just believing in that. So I enjoyed having you on so much, and I enjoyed your book so much. I actually ordered it for my girlfriend because I read it this weekend and she was having such a hard time, and I ordered it for her. And I think it's so wonderful, and you're going to help so many people. God's going to help so many people with just being able to allow us to like untangle all those knots that we have. So thank you so much, Jenny.
So grateful. Thanks for having
me. Awesome. Thank you guys so much for listening to the episode. Better Tomorrow is produced by me, Hannah Brown, and Legos Creative. Our show is recorded, engineered, and edited by the Legos Creative team. Remember to follow Better Tomorrow wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss the next episode. And don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps and shows your support. You can follow me on socials at Hannah Brown, and you can stay updated on all things Better Tomorrow on our Instagram at Better Tomorrow and our TikTok Better Tomorrow Podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.